The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, now it's time for our Friday Forum. It's been a very busy week with the food aid finally beginning to enter Gaza, the first time in almost 3 months. Answers being demanded by the Taoiseach and Tánaiste to over shots that were fired by the Israeli Defence Forces at a group, including two Irish diplomats. Of course, we heard about further delays in the new children's hospital completion date, and we will reflect on 10 years of marriage equality. I'm joined by Senator Fiona O'Loughlin of Fianna Fáil, Louise Burns, political correspondent with the Irish Daily Mirror, and Louise O'Reilly, Sinn Féin TD for Dublin, Fingal West. Good morning and welcome, one and all. But we're going to start with the news that has been broken by RTE in advance of an embargo. I think the embargo was to end at 1 o'clock this afternoon, but they have come out with this story about the hip surgeries, hip dysplasia being operated on when it may not have been necessary in certain cases. And what they are reporting is that the threshold to decide to do this surgery at Temple Street and Kappa Hospitals was lower than the case was at Children's Health Ireland. Their view looked at 147 cases in three hospitals involving 14 surgeries for pelvic osteotomy in children with the condition. And it found that the new technique was used at Temple Street and Kappa in some cases, and there was no informed consent, no risk assessment of a novel procedure. They're the headlines as reported by RTE. How accurate that is, we cannot tell because we don't have the official release yet. Louise O'Reilly, what do you say?
Well, I think we need to reflect in the first instance on why we're having this conversation, Pat. So as is the absolute form of this government, the information had to be dragged out of them, and it was in fact due to work by people like my colleague David Cullinan and others talking to parents that brought this into the public domain, and that forced the government to act. So that's the hallmark of this government. There has to be a scandal before there's any response. And we're at this, I suppose we'll add it to the Children's Hospital scandal, the scoliosis scandal. The list is actually growing and growing and growing. But really, the people I'm thinking about now are the parents and the kids themselves. Now, any parent listening here, if you've ever had to bring a child for surgery or for any procedure, you think long and hard about that. That is not something you do as your first option. That is your very, 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 very last option. So can you imagine how parents are feeling as the government drip feed out this information and keep some information? It would seem in some instances, you know, that information wasn't shared with parents. And now we see that in the case that was highlighted by Mary Lou MacDonald recently in the Dáil, a parent took their child for a second assessment and found they didn't have the condition and the surgery wasn't necessary.
Now, one of the issues
that's just terrifying, Pat, for parents.
One of the issues about, you know, don't want to make a big deal of breaking an embargo, but there will be a helpline put in place later today. Now, if you release the news before the helpline is in place, that causes, there's a hiatus there where parents are deeply concerned. Fiona?
Absolutely. And I think that, in fairness, the government did respond when this came across their radar. They did absolutely have to have an in-depth review and report, which we will get at 1 o'clock, I understand. But regardless of that, just thinking of the families, any surgery is traumatic in itself. And any surgery for a child is traumatic, not just for the child, but for the full family. And from just the small drip feed that I've heard just prior to coming in here, it would seem that two hospitals did operate under a different set of criteria and lower the bar. And when we think about how difficult it is to get necessary operations in some instances and then to have a situation. So it's very serious. It's very grave. Those hospitals have an awful lot to answer to.
But I'd like to read the full report before rushing.
Don't start that now, please.
Before rushing to judgment, because, I mean, in some, you could say maybe one surgeon says, look, if we operate on this kid, the kid will be absolutely perfect for the rest of his life. If we delay it, that might not be the result, so let's have a go. We don't really know. And this expert who conducted the review is an orthopaedic surgeon, Mr. Simon Thomas from Bristol Royal Hospital for Children in the UK. So it's an outside person looking at this for the first time. You'd like to see the nuance, because at the moment, everyone who did this kind of surgery in those hospitals is under a cloud.
And that's a very fair point. So I think that we do have to wait for the full review. But I do absolutely appreciate how parents are feeling now. And particularly, as you point out, the helpline will not be open until afterwards. So people are just in an abyss, in a limbo at this point in time, until the get the actual factual information.
Of course, there's no barrier to the government opening the hotline or the helpline
now.
No,
you have to put it in place.
Of course.
The government doesn't do that. The HSE does.
To be very, very clear, this was an issue that was raised by Mary Lou MacDonald and others in the Dáil. This is not the government reacting to anything other than political pressure.
It was raised by parents.
Initially, just let me finish, Fiona.
Politicians were absolutely correct to raise it when it was raised by parents.
They tried to downplay the issue when it was raised by Mary Lou. She had to drag the information out of an Taoiseach that there were over 2,000 letters had been issued. So any of the parents that got one of those letters is, I would imagine, at the moment, very, very anxious, you know, and really this drip feed of information is not helpful, right. But it is the hallmark.
I want to go
government.
To Louise Burns, who's political correspondent with the Irish Daily Mirror. What do you say as a non-political voice on this?
Well, I mean, we can talk about politicians breaking this or not breaking this, but really we owe a gratitude to a whistleblower who came forward with this information, raising concerns that the potentially unnecessary hip surgeries were done on children. I think the HSC will have a lot to answer for. I mean, I have seen the report. Like you said, it's under embargo till 1 p.m. But the gist of it is that there were varying criteria used across different hospitals to decide whether or not children were requiring this surgery. And I mean, to put any child under surgery, like Louise said, is a huge deal.
You wonder. I mean, I don't know anything about the protocols they use, but you wonder, how do you establish a criterion for a particular procedure? I mean, do all the surgeons get together around a meeting table and decide this is where we set the bar in terms of, you know, the resources that are required for surgery are not facile resources.
Well, I suppose as well, there's, you know, looking at things as too, like, are there other interventions that can be used, something like a hip brace, something like a leg brace? I'm not a doctor, so I don't know whether or not, you know, that is criteria that is suitable. It's certainly mentioned in the report that it is a method of treatment. Mm. But I think, and I mean, I think it's unfortunate this is leaked out before this helpline is open, because I think there's going to be a lot of parents very, very concerned about this, and you know, they have to be respected. Mm. And I just think it is such a shame that this news has come out before there is a method in place for them to contact the agency about this.
Not a great week this week for Children's Health Ireland, no.
Absolutely not.
I mean, the Children's Hospital, I mean, it's no kind of breaking news now that there'll be a further delay. It is almost what we expect.
No, of course, it's as I was I've said often, if it wasn't for incompetence, there'd be no competence at all with this government. This is the 15th delay for the National Children's Hospital. The cost of it, as originally announced, if my memory serves me, by Leo Varadkar, was $470 million, and then oops, he forgot about VAT, so it was $650 million, and it has absolutely ballooned. All of the while, the people sitting at the cabinet table have tried to absolve responsibility, but ultimately the buck stops with the government. It was the government that signed off on this project, and they have shown themselves completely incapable of managing a large scale project like that. And at the end of the day, it is children that will bear the brunt of this. You know, it is children. This was first talked about, this hospital, I think it was almost 20 years ago. It is children that will bear the brunt of this. So we now find ourselves in a situation whereby they cannot say with any certainty when the first patient will be treated in the hospital. And in fact, when this was put by Piers Doherty to Simon Harris yesterday in the Dáil, he was talking about other services in other hospitals. You know, when we're talking about the National Children's Hospital, the children deserve a decent hospital. If you've ever had a child in Crumlin or Temple Street, I tell you will know the need for this hospital.
The hospital will eventually open. The questions of staffing, which we've tried to get answers for, the questions of where staff will live, Will people want to travel if there's no parking
thing,
space?
See,
if you're living in
the
Midlands
in 2018, 2019, when I was the Sinn Féin health spokesperson in the Dáil, I had asked Simon Harris, who was the health minister at the time, about a funded workforce plan. Because obviously, when you see the bricks and mortar going into the ground, I mean, there's nothing more certain than even with you know, all of the incompetence and the delays and the inability of the government to deliver on time or indeed anywhere close to the budget, it was still an established fact that the hospital was going to open eventually and we were going to need trained professionals to work in it. There is no workforce plan. So they're talking about potentially commissioning beds, but when you talk to the INMO and other representative organisations, they will simply say to you, where are the staff going to come from? There was no planning done for this. So, you know, while the bricks and mortar, and that's a very, very, you know, taking a very, very long time, costing a huge amount of money, you would have to wonder about
the chair of the Public Accounts Committee was suggesting it could be over 3 billion because when BAM put in their claims, and these are adjudicated on and there's mediation and all the rest, but they're winning those claims because the work is actually having to be done,
but
largely
it's also
because the planning was not great.
Yeah, it was exactly. It's how the contract was constructed.
There's just on that very point, apparently there's almost nearly 3,000 claims that have come in, and they're equaling 846 million, which is very, very concerning. But every single one of them is being contested. It's incredibly frustrating.
I find that hard to believe that they're contesting every claim, because there'll be work done. OK, I want this door moved from A to B. You have to pay for that. You do.
No,
that's a legitimate cost.
And that's acceptable.
So when they fight everything...
Are you saying, Fiona, that the government are going to fight thousands of claims as well?
My understanding is that every legitimate claim, or every claim where it is felt it is questionable, that is going to be fought.
And how many
There's
those
also
are there?
An inflation built in, I think, of 46 million, which wasn't considered because it has gone on so long. It's been incredibly frustrating for everybody. I sat here in this studio with you, Pat, as an opposition TD, talking about this three governments ago, but I didn't jump on the bandwagon as an opposition TD and said it's disgraceful, the amount of money and the amount of time that this is going to take, because we need it. It is going to be state of the art. There are 5,700 rooms. I think over 4,000 of those have been inspected at this point. But going back to the staff, there's about 4,500 staff at the moment working across children's health. And my understanding is that when the operational commissioning and the clinical migration, which needs to happen not during the winter time, because obviously hospitals have more patients then and it's more difficult, that there is going to be a critical look at that point in terms of extra staff. But it's a huge concern, and we need to do more to recruit and retain.
They're thinking of looking at that when that time comes. I mean,
after the 4,500 have successfully migrated. That's my understanding.
They're going to have to run parallel workforces. You know that. They're going to have to have the other hospitals keep on going while the migration is taking
place
on new services. Yeah.
That they will need more staff for that. Yeah. Like, that's the thing. If the staff that are working across the sites that are existing at the moment, working, God love them, in intolerable conditions, in unsuitable locations, they are going to have to transfer. But it's not simply the case. And, you know, I mean, there is precedent for this. Obviously, the Tala Hospital, when that was commissioned, they know how to do this. But for whatever reason, the government just seem incapable of planning for these large scale projects. And as I say to you, it was 7 or 8 years ago since I was saying to Simon Harris we needed a funded workforce plan. There is no sign of that.
Louise
but
Burns.
BAM also, sorry, just one point. BAM also have questions to answer, because last January they had 900 builders on site. Now apparently they only have 600. So there are very specific questions. At the end of this process, though, we are going to have a state of the art wonderful hospital.
If you've ever built a house and you know when it comes to the final fixes, that you've got plumbers and electricians tripping over each other, and you sometimes there's a need to tell people, go home. We can't cope with you here with all the stuff that's going on. And this is a very complex project with loads of different sets of expertise being employed simultaneously. And Louise Burns, what do you think?
BAM is actually disputing, and it'd be interesting to get BAM and CHI and the National Paediatric Hospital Development Board in at one committee to actually let everything come out and let all these questions be answered, where you have everyone in the one room, because BAM are suggesting that they have staffed this 50% over the actual programme that it has been put in place. And I mean, both of the facts that there's only 600 workers and the project is not resourced enough, and BAM resourcing it 50% over the programme, they both can't be correct at the same time. And I mean, I don't think anyone is surprised at this hospital being delayed anymore. And I think it'd actually be a miracle if it starts seeing patients next year.
Now, you know that today we're talking about COVID inquiry, this thing that's going to look at what went wrong and what lessons we can learn and so on. And they're always talking about lessons that can be learned without necessarily pointing at the mistakes that were made by particular people. I mean, the mistakes that were made here, fundamentally one was a political mistake. It's put in the wrong place. End of. And they're about to do the same with the new maternity hospital, putting it in Dublin 4, where relatively few children are born. So, you know, what learnings have been made?
Absolutely none. And, you know, it is incredibly disheartening. Do you know, like, that, not for politicians, right? So that's take us out of the equation. But for people busting their backside to earn a crust, to pay tax, to see the manner in which their taxpayers' money is utterly disrespected by the government. It's those people that I feel sorry for, because they're the ones whose kids are going to need this hospital. There's plenty of people who will have heard the hospital spoken about and are now looking at their adult children saying, well, you'll never see that hospital. That's for their grandchildren.
And I mean, I was in and out of Temple Street when I was younger quite a bit. I would have been in and out every kind of couple of months. I mean, you're talking probably about 15 years since I've actually been there. But even at that stage, you could tell that it needed to be done up. Yeah, and if I was a child knowing that 15 years ago that that hospital needed to be done up, like you just wonder why this was not done sooner and why children, I mean, we're talking about children's health here at the end of the day. It's kind of just bananas that we have not.
Nobody ever
this.
Wants their child to be in hospital. But when this hospital, and we are focusing on Aid 8, but we should also be focusing on the services and the education and research that's going to be carried out there, that will be there for generations.
It'll probably be wonderful when it's open and complete and all the rest
of it. One of the best in the world.
But the fundamental problem is for the children who missed out on this hospital and are now moved on with all their problems into adult life, is that it was put in the wrong place originally, and it wasn't as if the government said, oh, maybe. They were told again and again by medical experts, this is the wrong decision. And they persisted and persisted and persisted. Where's the co-located maternity hospital? It's not there. It was supposed to be there. Leo Varadkar, as health minister, promised me on this programme. He said it will be co-located when the planning goes in for the children's hospital, Pat, the planning will go in for maternity.
The same person as part of the same, was part of the government that's there at the moment. It's the same thread that you can see. It was the same man that said, bar a meteorite, was it, or an asteroid hitting Earth, that the hospital would be open and seeing children in 2020. Well, that came and went. But there have been 15 separate delays. 15. I mean, we're used to the delays now. We've actually stacked in a level of incompetence from the government that I think is quite frankly breathtaking. And I genuinely feel for people. You know, if you're wiping a table at the moment, or if you're on your feet in a hair salon, or you are absolutely wrecked and you're paying tax and you see the way this government treats, I genuinely feel.
Okay, I'm going to read you some of the comments. We know the mistakes of government now. What the parties want are solutions instead of dwelling on the mistakes. Blame each other is not a solution. It's only time wasting. Another one, children's hospital built in the wrong place, inadequate parking for staff and patients and parents, extremely poor planning, must be an absolute shambles of a contract, whoever designed the contract. No parking for anyone, they'll be doing well to get staff. Constant source of scandal here, poor management and no oversight on publicly run services and organisations. But this is never discussed, always a fake post-mortem and no structural change to ensure that it does not happen again. And shame on Louise O'Reilly for trying to score political points on that children's surgery issue. Shameful, she needs to cop on. That's from Paul in Kildare.
Oh, God love him, Paul in Kildare, is he? Okay. Not at all. No, and I doubt if he lived in Fingal West, he would vote for me either. That's fine. Sure, look, that's somebody making a political point there as well. And the best of luck to him. He's perfectly entitled to write into any programme that he likes, but he's wrong. This issue was broken in the Dáil by whistleblowers who had come to politicians and to journalists. It wasn't proactive on the part of the government. This was something that had to be dragged.
Isn't it fair to say the politicians of all parties reacted?
Let me make one point. During the cervical check scandal, Pat, I was accused by, you know, people like Paul or whatever his name is, right? I was accused by them of politicising something. I am incredibly proud of the work that I did as part of that, because that shone a light where it needed to be shone. And when politicians were trying to shy away from it, I would not allow that to happen. And I insisted that we had debate, we had discussion, and this issue was brought into the public domain. That is my job as a politician, and I will not stop doing that. So a person emailing or texting in a show saying that a politician is doing politics, I mean, come on, you know, that is somebody trying to play politics.
A final comment on the hospital and so on. The hospitals are being located to suit the consultants, not the patients. They want to be centrally located and not out in the boondocks in Blanchardstown. And that there's an element of that, you know. Consultants don't tend to live in West Dublin. They tend to live in the leafy inner suburbs of Dublin.
Well, you'd have to ask yourself where the nurses and the people who are supposed to be working in the hospital are going to live, because, you know, I don't know if we're going to have a chance to talk about we're talking about the health scandals now. We may yet move on to the housing and rental scandals from the government, but you'd have to wonder where the staff are going to come from. But again, this is planning that should have been done
Where will the staff come from for the children's hospital? Where will they live? How will they get there? They can't park. There'll be no parking of any degree for staff.
There's over 1,000 car park spaces, my understanding, in terms of the detail that I've read. 600 of that, I think, for visitors, and then 400 to 500 for staff. There's a good public...
How many thousands are going to be working there every
day? No, and I appreciate that.
But taking a child who's immunocompromised on the Lewis, I'm sorry, that's not on.
Yeah. Oh, no, I absolutely accept that in terms of patients. But in terms of staff, there is good public transport infrastructure there. One of my brothers lives very, very close to it, so I've seen it going up. And there's a good bus and Lewis structure relatively close to it. And I think that is certainly going to help support
Final
staff.
Word,
Lucy Nugent was actually the CEO of CHI, was actually speaking about this yesterday at PAC. Mm-hmm. And she was saying that this is one of the questions the staff is asking, mm-hmm. like, where's the parking? Where's my office? All these kind of things. Even though there are leafy parts of Dublin 15 as well, it is worth noting. But you would hope that doctors and consultants and nurses will be able to overcome these issues and that some kind of... I guess accommodation will be put in place for them, because like we were saying, this is children's health we're talking about.
And where's the gumbit?
Well, I mean, there's not great parking around Temple Street either.
No, indeed not. All right, we'll park that one, if you'll pardon the pun, and we'll resume talking about international affairs after this.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
You're listening to our Friday Forum. I'm joined here by Senator Fiona Loughlin of Fianna Fáil, Louise Byrne, political correspondent with the Irish Daily Mirror, and Louise O'Reilly, Sinn Féin TD for Dublin Fingal West. We want to talk about Gaza now, and there are so many ramifications of Gaza. I'll go to Louise Byrne first. Aid getting to some Palestinians at last, but probably not enough.
No, probably not enough. And I mean, it's barbaric to think that aid trucks have been waiting for nearly 3 months to get into starving people in Gaza, and that has been prevented. And I mean, we heard some very stark warnings from the UN this week. Now, I know there's kind of question marks over some of the things that were said about the number of babies that might die in a certain period of time. But I mean, if you take that aside, you know, thousands of people are losing their lives unnecessarily through starvation, and you just wonder, is enough being done? And I mean, you look at what the EU is doing this week with reviewing the EU-Israel Trade Association Agreement. You look at what Simon Harris said the other week about that he's going to bring some kind of legislation on the occupied territories.
And then Netanyahu has the nerve to say that Germany, France and the UK and other countries, probably including us, would be on the wrong side of history on what he's doing in Gaza. How can he possibly stand over what they're doing?
And you just wonder how there's, and I mean, there are people in Israel who fundamentally disagree with what he is doing and disagree with what his government is doing, but you just wonder how he is maintaining some level of support that is emboldening him to do this. And I think world leaders need to look at themselves as well to say, well, why are not enough people standing up to him? But then I guess the other side of that is, even if you do stand up to him, is he going to listen, or is he just so dogmatic
Trump,
he's saying?
Trump has his back, and relations with the United States are still very important to many countries, including our own. Louise?
Well, there's been an 11-week long... I mean, look, this didn't start on the 8th of October or anything like it. This started 77 years ago. But in the recent past, there's been an 11-week long blockade preventing food, water and medicine. So the figure of 14,000 children facing starvation, that's coming from the aid agencies that are trying to work in Gaza. Now, God love them, because they are trying to do an impossible job. They are being blockaded. They are, I mean, we had people from the, I think it was Médecins Sans Frontières in the Dáil talking about, in the AV room, talking about what they had seen in Gaza. And I'm not joking with you, Pat, when I say I cannot get those images that out of my head, and what they saw. And it is so preventable. There are people dying of starvation less than a mile away from food. I just, when you think about that, you have to wonder
what is happening is scandalous, but it's Netanyahu invoking the Holocaust, which he did yesterday in his remarks, you know, reminding people of history, to justify what he is doing in Gaza, and then pillorying the United States and Germany and France,
but
or
Pat,
the United Kingdom and
no
Germany.
There's no justification for what he is doing. But let us be very, 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 very clear. Israel does what it does. It is a genocide in anyone else's language. Genocide is the word, and I have used that word and I will not hesitate to use it again. They do what they do, and Israel acts with impunity because there are no sanctions. They simply must face sanctions. There has to be consequences for what they are doing, and the international community has to do more. So no matter what is being done, efforts need to be stepped up. And next Tuesday, people will have an opportunity. And sorry, Paul, now if you think I'm politicising this, people will have an opportunity to vote to end the practice of the central bank using Israeli war bonds. That is something Piers Doherty is bringing that legislation to the Dáil. I sincerely hope that the government back that legislation. We also need to see them enact the Occupied Territories Bill in full, not a watered down version, in full, and to support it the way that Fianna Fáil supported it when they were in opposition, and now they're running away from it in government.
Fiona?
Okay, we're absolutely not running away from it. What's happening in Gaza is simply a hell on earth. Think that there was 97 lorries, which wasn't even near enough, waiting to bring in food and water. And the pictures that we see in the newspapers and our televisions, and listening to one of the surgeons actually yesterday morning on the radio talking about the conditions that they were working in month on month and coming in for a month and having to bring food in half a suitcase to provide for a month when they're trying to do everything. Apparently, at least 10 children a day suffer at least one amputation. So in terms of what's happening, not alone the 53,000 that have died, but those that have lost limbs and have been injured, just the trauma. It is a Holocaust in everything in another
name. The bottom line here is that Trump and before him Joe Biden have uncritically supported Israel. That's it. You know, even the Democrats, some of them making a bit of noise now about what's going on in Palestine. But basically, the politicians in Congress, by and large, support Israel in everything it does.
Which is
and while that continues, yes, there'll be very little sanction on Israel.
And we see shocking situations like the shooting in Washington of two young people on the cusp of their own lives together. We see a situation where, and one, we know that there was an Irish diplomat involved in terms of the intimidatory shooting when there was a visit from diplomatic corps to Jenin.
And the Taoiseach says he's going to get answers. How?
You know, we have to keep up the pressure. And to be fair, Micheál Martin and Spain, well over a year ago, did call for the EU to review the EU-Israel Trade Association Agreement. So it is welcome, the announcement during the week that Kaji Kallas said that they would look at it. But Ireland has looked for that for well over a year. In terms of how we go forward, the two-state solution is the obvious solution. It is something that Ireland have been very much to the front. And the final point that I'll make in terms of the Occupied Territories Bill, which I support, We need to ensure that any legislation that comes from our government is robust and stands up to scrutiny. I understand that there is a memo coming to the cabinet next Tuesday. I understand that Senator Francis Black has had two meetings with the Taoiseach in terms of the progress, and I look forward to seeing what comes through next week. We need to enact, and we need other European countries and other countries around the world to stand up and support the stance that Ireland has taken.
It was supported by Fianna Fáil in opposition, and as I said, they ran away from it now in government. All the while, there has to
we don't run away from anything.
Slaughter is happening. It's happening because there are no consequences for Israel. Israel must feel consequences.
Ireland has not been left wanting by any manner of means.
And enacting the Occupied Territories Bill in full
is one way. The Occupied Territories Bill, as Francis Black has drafted it, we have heard time and time again that it doesn't fit in with the Constitution and there's legal issues, and it has to, you know, be essentially redrafted to make sure it when it is challenged, and it will be challenged, of course it is going to be challenged, that it has to stand up to scrutiny. But you would question, and I mean, this will be teased out in committees, I'm sure, is the government doing enough to see if there's any way to get that services element of the Occupied Territories Bill, as initially proposed by Senator Black, into Simon Harris's new bill? And this will all come out in the waterwork, you know, further down the line. But, you know, this has been pushed back and pushed back and pushed back. It's not on the legislative, you know, programme to be passed this year. And you would question why, when all parties committed to it.
All right, we will have to leave it there. My thanks to Fiona O'Loughlin, Senator Fiona O'Loughlin of Fianna Fáil, Louise Byrne, political correspondent with the Irish Daily Mirror, Louise O'Reilly, Sinn Féin TD for Dublin Fingal West. Some of the comments to conclude. My huge concern with the Children's Hospital is that no lessons have been learned. Metrolink, an even bigger project, and if the same mistakes are made, then costs could well exceed the $24 billion, which is the worst case scenario price at the moment. I think Metrolink North should be paused until we're absolutely certain it won't go over $10 billion. The NCH project is one reason why Metro should not be built. Billions spent to serve Dublin and the rest of the country paying for it. Time for the government to prove it's a national government, not a Dublin one.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.